7.
Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, I'm going to try to explain why these things have happened and what it means to you and me. Then in our second hour, we're going to turn to God. We're going to engage Yahweh on His terms according to His Torah teaching. If you're a agnostic or if you are religious, but you know there's something not quite right with your religion, this will be the best part of today's program. Would strongly encourage you to call. Be part of this discussion. Our number is 877-300-7645. And for those seeking affirmation, verification, evidence for what you're going to hear today, please go to introtogod.org or yadaya.com. What you'll find there will open your eyes, and it's all free. Now on to the news. I saw something very interesting yesterday. It was a video clip from Islamic television, and so I can't read it to you, but let me share with you the gist of it, because it indeed was curious. Yesterday in Syria, the Syrian opposition, I guess we're calling them rebels as opposed to jihadists or Mujahideen or fundamentalist Sunni Muslims, but the rebels captured and, according to the Iranians, kidnapped 48 Iranian troops in Syria. Now, it's one thing for the Iranians to have Hezbollah in Syria, which they do because it's Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, which is Allah's party, lives in Damascus, and that's the capital now of Hezbollah, even though it's an Iranian terrorist organization. But for them to send in Revolutionary Guard troops into Syria on behalf of the Alawite government, now that's an entirely different matter. So when this happened yesterday and these 48 Iranian troops were captured, the Iranian response was that they were religious pilgrims, and with their guns and weapons and the like, they were off to visit a shrine dedicated to one of Muhammad's wives, I think, either that or Muhammad's daughter, I've forgotten, but I think it's perhaps Muhammad's daughter. There's a shrine built to her, and they were religious pilgrims going off to visit it, which we makes perfect sense. That's what most warriors would want to go do. And they said, since you've kidnapped them, you must return them immediately or there'll be severe consequences. Of course, the Sunnis, who have been armed by Saudi Arabia and Kuwait to fight the Shiite government, are saying, no, wait a minute, you are now engaged fighting this war with your military, and therefore these are prisoners of war. How this all plays out will be interesting. We also know that there are between 300 and 400 Russian troops who landed late last week in Syria. They were allegedly going in to secure the military bases that Russia has in Syria and to protect their military personnel. But this thing is definitely going from bad to worse. And right now it is a proxy war, and it is a war between Sunni and Shia Islam, being armed by parties on the outside. You've got Russia on one side providing conventional weapons. You've got the United States through its CIA now providing the weapons of the guerrilla fighter and terrorist. And so we have another proxy war between Russia and the United States. It's also a war between Iran and Saudi Arabia, with both sides arming their religiously inclined. So huge mess, unbelievable theater in terms of being able to witness what's wrong with politics, why you shouldn't be patriotic in terms of our nation's and other nations' involvement in Syria, what's wrong with religion in terms of what it does to people's ability to think, what's wrong with politics, all of that is on display in Syria. Yesterday, we spent most of our program talking about the fact that there was one universal theme which could be focused upon, which would explain why the shooter in Wisconsin went into the Sheik temple and shot so many people. And that one universal theme, the one thing that motivated him to kill people of a different race, was the fact that he was a neo-Nazi. Well, all of the news today is affirming that same theme. He was a neo-Nazi. Some articles read End Apathy, which is one of the groups that he belonged to, includes songs with titles such as Self-Destruct. That's a very nurturing and positive theme, don't you think? Submission, which, by the way, is the, the guy didn't know this, but Islam means submission. It is surrender in Arabic. Submission, which is exactly the opposite. Self-destructing and submission are the antithesis of what God wants us to do. He does not want us to submit to anyone, including himself, and he most certainly doesn't want us to self-destruct, which is the end of mortal life for those who don't engage in the covenant. And the last is insignificant, which is the consequence of those who reject what God has to offer in his covenant, but yet are not don't lead people away from him. They become so insignificant that their soul ceases to exist. So this man's theme, the theme of his songs, his song titles, would be a perfect presentation of what Hasatan, the adversary, Satan, would like to see people choose for their lives, to self-destruct, to submit, and to be insignificant. He was heavily tattooed. In his Torah, Prophets, and Psalms specifically asks us not to tattoo our bodies. I know that tattooing is a very popular thing to do today, particularly among younger people. It's your choice. Whatever you do to your body is up to you, but understand that it, like religion, is something that angers God. The music and sad commentary of our sick society and the problems that prevent true progress are on display, the band's profile says. So rather than recognizing that its band titles, its slogans are sad commentary and that they are preventing any progress in human development, they look at it as the opposite way around. That's what religion does to people. And again, the theme of yesterday's program, if you didn't have the chance to listen to it, is that Nazism is first and foremost a religion. Your government didn't want you to know that Mein Kampf was written as religious scripture, that it was a religious text, because it would be in conflict with the Constitution to attack and declare war on a religion. But Nazism, if you read Mein Kampf, was absolutely a religion. That's the main theme of the book. One of the themes of religion, the consequence of religion, is it turns the world upside down. And I don't care what religion you're part of, it turns the world upside down. It causes you to see what you're doing is good when it is bad. The band's T-shirts, we are told, advertised on the page, include one with the Roman numeral 14, which was also a tattoo on the shooter's arm. When you see 14 tattooed on someone, or they're wearing a T-shirt, be very concerned. The number is a reference to the 14-word white supremacist slogan. Quote, "We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children." Yesterday, I also shared with you that the moment you begin to see the world through a racist perspective, whether you are a conspiracy theorist and don't like Jews, you're a Muslim and hate Jews, you are a Caucasian individual and you don't like African Americans, or you don't like Hispanics, or you're Hispanic and you don't like African Americans, the moment that your perspective on the world includes a racial component, you have lost the ability to be moral. You've lost the ability to be rational. And at that point, it is rage that will motivate your decisions. There is no hope in a worldview that is based upon race. A YouTube video posted in 2009 of a song by Definite Hate, which was one of the shooter's groups, appears to have been another band that the shooter participated in, shows a scroll of the lyrics, which include, "Wake up, white man, for your race and for your land. Wake up, people, or you're going to die." Two themes that I want to make sure that we get across, because I spend a lot of time in this program exposing and condemning religion and politics. Religion and politics are ideas that mislead and beguile people. There is nothing remotely bigoted or racist associated with condemning and exposing religion or politics as being false and unreliable. It's the most intelligent, rational, and moral thing we can do is to reveal to people that their religion and their politics are not reliable and should not be trusted. But there is no racial component in that. The moment you move to race in your criticism or in your approach to life, you are lost. And the moment you turn to bullets and bombs to remedy a foreseen problem, all you're going to do is make it worse, just like America's invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan. Bullets and bombs make a religious or a political situation worse, not better. Now, turning to an entirely different story, I promised that I would cover this morning because I think it is curious, pun intended. NASA's Mars science rover, Curiosity, performed a daredevil descent through the pink Martian skies late Sunday to clinch a historic landing inside an ancient crater. Ready to search for signs the red planet may once have harbored the key ingredients for life. Now, this is curious in the two ways. First of all, the entire reason for this $2.5 billion project is to demonstrate that there was life on Mars, and now scientists are hedging their bets as they continue to do in this whole life issue. Scientists were convinced through the 1950s, 1960s, and even 1970s that they could create life in a test tube and therefore show that it absolutely could occur in a spontaneously. And they had all of their theories as to how life was not designed, but just happened, and therefore isn't special, and therefore it exists everywhere. The number one thing that atheist scientists want to demonstrate is that life exists someplace else, so that intelligent design no longer matters and has no merit. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back with you to continue this discussion after the break, should you wish to call 877-300-7645. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We are now in the process of shattering a scientific myth, and if you see the chuckle, if you hear the chuckle in my voice, it's because Scott is the producer of the Shattering Myths program. We're reading an Islamic letter that I received today trying to justify Muhammad's behavior, including the fact that he was a pedophile. One of these programs we'll share just Islamic apologist letters from Islamists so that you too can enjoy a good chuckle. Anyway, what I was suggesting with you is that what scientists are hoping to be able to demonstrate, and these would not be all scientists, but atheist scientists, which I don't know what percentage of scientists today are atheists. If you go back at the creation of what we'd call modern science and all of its divisions today, almost all of them were Christians. But today, probably a majority of scientists that are atheists, but not a significant majority. And so what they're attempting to do is because the number one argument, previously they've had two arguments for no God. One is that through the 1950s, scientists had concluded conclusively that the universe was not created, that it had always existed. Even Albert Einstein was of the notion that the universe had always existed. It was not created. Yah's testimony says that the universe was created. In fact, he even uses the term Big Bang. So when science came to realize that the universe was created, they lost one of their two pillars in their defense against a god. And we're going to go into great detail about the creation account in future programs. The second argument that they had is that that Darwin demonstrated that life can evolve from nothing, and that from inorganic materials you can evolve into complex beings. So the reality is, and we're going to go way into detail in this in future programs, they know mathematically that that is an impossibility, that they have no concept what consciousness is, and they know that this notion that life over the enormous periods of time not only somehow became that elements somehow became life, but that life survived and it found nourishment, it found ways to replicate itself, and then it became, it worked against the laws of thermodynamics and became more sophisticated over time as opposed to the actual nature of genealogy and became deteriorated over time. That has been their remaining pillar, but they haven't been able to demonstrate it, and every time they look for a ways to demonstrate it, it becomes more difficult to do so. For example, DNA, when they found out that's a language, that meant that it was designed, and therefore we are the product of design. But now their big thing is, well, if life can be found everywhere on other places, then the Earth isn't special, and therefore life isn't special, and therefore this whole notion of man being special goes away, and that's their argument against God. That is what is in their mindset. They're not going to tell you that overtly, but that's their mindset. That's what they're trying to prove. Now, I'm not against the exploration. It's probably some of the best dollars we spend. Happy that we send the rover up there, but it's important you know the people's mindsets. Now, what they have now done is they realize, you know, we're probably not going to find life on Mars. So what if we can make an announcement that the planet may have once harbored the key ingredients that could have made the planet hospitable to life, as opposed to actually finding evidence for life. Hedging their bets, it is a religious faith issue, and the religion here happens to be atheism and the belief in science. And so one of the last things I wanted to share with you on this Mars mission is that, can you imagine being the Caltech or JPL student here? You're there on the campus, and you come up with this idea that, you know, why don't we land something on Mars? This would be so cool. We'll land on Mars. We'll start with the big parachute again, which is challenging on Mars because the atmosphere is so thin. We're going to start with a big parachute, but this time, underneath the parachute, we're going to have this retro rocket. But the retro rocket is going to have the lander on tethers. We're going to make these tethers out of nylon. And so we're going to put this retro rocket, hang it from the parachute, and then put through tethers the lander on top of it. It's going to wheel this thing down on these nylon tethers, and then we're going to have like 50 explosions that are going to go off just precisely so that every tether is cut at precisely the right time, and then the retro rockets are going to fire again and send that aspect of the landing craft someplace else to crash so that it doesn't crash right on top of our rover. And we're going to sell this concept to the U.S. government and get $2.5 billion for this. Now, the only thing more amazing than the idea is the fact that it actually worked. Return to Shattering Myths in a moment. To Shattering Myths. I want to continue this story about the project where some engineer at either JPL or Caltech. They're kind of interfused as one, and the campuses are adjoined. And I just can't imagine this student or professor or engineer saying, I got this great idea that we can sell to NASA. It's called a sky crane. And to use this thing, we're going to have a sequence of 79 pyrotechnic detonations, 79 explosions. And all of these detonations have to either release exterior ballast weights, they have to open a parachute, they have to separate the heat shield, they have to detach the craft's back shell, they have to jettison the parachute, they have to cut those bungee cords that were dangling the spacecraft on it. And by the way, just imagine if one of the 79 doesn't work, if you got one cord left on the parachute, if you have one bungee cord left on the rover that doesn't cut at exactly the right time, everything tips upside down. And rather than the retro rockets slowing the fall, they're going to accelerate the fall. Rather than this thing landing on its wheels, it's going to land upside down. It says even in the article on it, the failure of any one of those 79 explosions or anything in the sequence would have doomed the landing. NASA referred to the unorthodox 7-minute descent and landing sequence as 7 minutes of absolute terror. Now, the only thing more curious to me than the fact that NASA decided, U.S. government, we're going to spend $2.5 billion funding this guy's crazy idea. Reminds me of the television show, The Big Bang. We're going to fund it. Is that it actually worked? Amazing indeed. Well, looking forward to seeing what they report back from Mars. Turning to the next story, there's a battle going on in a global war right now that most people aren't aware of, and that's in the Sinai. When the Salafist Muslims took control of Egypt, albeit briefly, gaining 75% of the parliament and therefore writing an Islamic constitution, and then had the military take back over the country and is now back to a military dictatorship in Egypt. What has happened is that the Sinai, which through the military dictatorship was policed, and the reason that the Sinai was policed was because Egypt is absolutely dependent upon the military aid that the United States provides, billions of dollars every year, and part of that military aid was Jimmy Carter told the Israelis to Egypt after the Six-Day War, even though Egypt lost it, and the number of countries that get their land back when they lose a war is in history you can probably count on one hand and not use your fingers. They had to promise that they would maintain the Sinai as a neutral zone that would be jihadist and military free. Well, guess what? Now that the military junta has been replaced and then reasserted and the government officially is 75% Islamic, the Sinai has become a jihadist free zone. Primary means, by the way, of financing themselves is in body parts. They are taking the Bedouins, operating on them while they are still alive, and removing body parts, everything from eyes to kidneys to livers, you name it, without anesthesia. It is a stunningly brutal place, and of course they are routinely practicing their jihadist and mujahideen attacks at Israel. Well, yesterday, these jihadists killed 16 police. The police they killed were Egyptian police. So they killed 16 Egyptian police near the Israeli border. They killed the Egyptian police because they wanted to go off and kill Jews. And after killing the Egyptian police and continuing on to the border, the Israelis put them out of their misery. And so now you've got the Egyptians with a Islamist prime minister slash president, Mohamed Morsi, trying to what side do I deal with here? I mean, he is great buddies with Hamas. And yet he recognizes that his life would be snuffed out in a second by the Egyptian military, who's not going to tolerate such things. It is a battle within the war that we should keep an eye on as to what's happening in the Sinai. On the same subject, speaking of Islam, we read this from CNN. The parents of a 17-year-old girl will spend at least 25 years in a British prison for the death of their daughter. That wasn't the death of their daughter, and they're not going to spend 25 years each in prison for the death of their daughter. They're going to spend it in prison because they murdered their daughter. After the couple's conviction Friday for killing her over her desire to live a westernized lifestyle and become an attorney, a court spokesperson said on Friday. In Islam, there is considerable compulsion in religion. The Quran says in the fourth surah, if a Muslim rejects their religion, kill them. And so these parents were following their religion, which is why religion should be exposed and condemned. The Chester Crown Court Judge Evans sentenced Iftikhar and Farzana, that's dad and mom, to life in prison. He said the couple, who were originally from Pakistan, must be in prison for at least 25 years before being eligible for parole. The sentence came hours after the court found them guilty of murder and the death of Safiya Ahmed. The girl's dismembered body was found on a riverbank in February 2004, months after she disappeared in 2003. They killed her in 2003, and her dismembered body was found a year later. The death was the final act in a long-running effort by the couple to get their daughter to conform to their beliefs, CNN said. To their beliefs. The CNN journalist couldn't write to conform to Islam, which means, as we heard in the previous segment, means surrender. It means submission. To submit. So they couldn't get their daughter to surrender, to submit, Detective Superintendent Jones reported. When this failed, they murdered her. A vile and disgraceful act. Yeah, vile and disgraceful act by any moral and rational standard, but a godly act, a Islamic act, a Quranic act, according to the lone God of Islam, Allah. Allah tells Muslims to kill anyone who rejects surrendering to Islam. The sentencing of the couple, Evans said, were sentenced for this long a period of time because not only did they murder their daughter, they used intimidation, bullying, and physical violence. I studied a number of stories and read the testimony during this trial. Mom and dad routinely tortured their daughter. Now, again, torturing their daughter sounds horrible to us because we are, most of the audience listening to this program, are not Islamic. But in his farewell sermon, Muhammad said it is okay for you to torture and to hit, to violently treat your wives. You can lock them naked in a closet. You can starve them if you wish. They are like domesticated animals. And so they tortured her in an effort to force her to adopt the ways they viewed as being more culturally appropriate, this journalist says, because journalists are way too stupid today to actually investigate the evidence for themselves and to write the truth. It is stunning how dishonest, how beguiling, how poorly informed, how willing to be misleading journalists are today. They were not interested in their culture. They were interested in their religion. They were following their religion. They were doing what their religion ordered them to do. It is why we should expose and condemn their religion, not their culture. Quote, your problem was that when you, in that you referred to your community, Shafila's conduct was bringing shame upon you and concern about being shamed in your community was greater than your love for your child. Community is the mosque. Islam. They were Muslims. The fact that she wasn't wearing a burqa and would go out in Western dress was against the teachings of Islam, so they killed her. This is what Evans told the couple, according to a transcript provided by court officials. In order to rid yourself of that problem, you killed your daughter by suffocating her in the presence of your other four children. Yeah, they not only killed her, they brought the other children into the living room of their home to watch them kill her so that the other children would know that if you reject Islam and you embarrass us by not wearing the tent when you go out, that burqa, this is what we're going to do to you. Now, on Monday, Farzana Ahmad testified that she had tried to protect the girl. Now, this is fascinating. Muslims lie. And in fact, lying is considered lawful and good in Islam, because this conviction came just days after the mother's longstanding denials that this was not true, that they had no idea what happened to the daughter, that the daughter, that they would never have killed their daughter, and she was just lying a blue streak about the whole thing. And then a week before the convictions, she turned and she says, no, it is true that my husband killed my daughter. I had nothing to do with it. Yeah, ring him up, not me. And so she turned and became a witness against her husband, claiming that he did it. And then, of course, he said, no, she's lying. I didn't do it. Well, on Monday, she testified that she had tried to intervene to protect her daughter, but that her husband pushed her away and punched her. That was her latest story. She says she was extremely scared and she fled the room and stayed in a bedroom with the other children and chilled. She heard the car driving away 20 minutes later. Well, her other children all say, no, we watched Mom kill her along with Dad, and that we were not witnessing someone scared that that Dad was punching. A fabric of lies, the nature of religion. This is Shattering Myths. In this final segment of our first hour, we're going to try to complete this story on this lovely family from Pakistan that was living in the UK. Now, if they had done this, murdered their daughter in Pakistan, there would be no criminal proceedings. It would be consistent with Sharia law, because Sharia law is based upon the Quran and Hadith, and as such, since the Quran says that if a Muslim rejects their religion, you should kill them, they would never have been tried for this crime. But they were in the UK, where Islamic law does not prevail. So as we heard, the mom decided that she would recant her story and saying, rather than that we had nothing to do with it, she's going to say that the husband did it. And she then said that when the husband returned from killing the daughter, the mom asked, where is my daughter? And he said, if you care for your dear life and that of your children, don't ask me this question again. That was her revised testimony to the court. So Farzana Ahmad testified Monday that only one of her children, Mavesh, was present when she saw her husband attacking Safiya. Now, I don't know how he could have done this outside of the house if now she knows that one of her children was present when she was being killed. But nonetheless, that is her most recent testimony. But another of the couple's children, Alicia, which was the name of the 6-year-old that Muhammad molested when he was 50 years old in an act of pedophilia, testified last month that she saw her parents, that she personally witnessed her parents, both of them, kill her sister. Alicia says that her parents were angry that Shafilia was wearing a short-sleeved V-neck top and no sweater. on the night that she was killed. So there you go. If your daughter wears a dress, according to these Muslims, you are justified in killing her. My suggestion to you is don't be a Muslim. My further suggestion to you is to come to understand why these Muslims thought that way, so that you too can join the chorus of exposing and condemning the religion. This is a quote, just end it here, Farzana said to Iftikhar. So just end it here, the mom said to the dad, as the dad was striking the daughter. This is according to the daughter's sworn testimony. Just end it here, the mom said to the father. They put Sophilia onto the sofa, and they suffocated her, strangling her. Alicia testified. It was an act of suffocation by both parents acting together. Now, the prosecutor, Helen Morris, used the verdict as an opportunity to urge those who may be suffering or fearful of similar violence to come forward and, quote, put your faith in the criminal justice system. The moment you put your faith in any human institution, you will find them wanting. That is the testimony of Yahweh. Don't put your trust in any human institution. Are you better off putting your faith in the criminal justice system of the UK than the Islamic religion? Yes, but that is only a comparative example. One of the things that you learn when you're in business and you're confronted with all sides of the criminal justice system is that the justice system is not just, and the first thing that every judge and every attorney will tell you, the moment you use fair and just in reference to the justice system, that they will tell you it pretends to be neither. So-called honor killings, this article concludes, in which members of a family kill relatives, actually kill daughters is the most case, because of the behavior they say that shames the family, claim about 5,000 lives a year, according to the United Nations Population Fund. In England, the Crown Prosecution Service has handled 234 crimes involved of alleged honor violence. Now, in the previous articles here, the British were trying to say, now, you shouldn't be associating this with Islam because not all of the 234 honor killings were motivated by Muslim parents against an Islamic daughter. That's true. Only 233 of the 234 honor murders in England were Islamic. There was one that was Sheikh in its origin. When we separate evidence from those things that helps us understand what's happening, there is no hope of ever understanding what's happening. Well, this is Shattering Myths. Look forward to returning after the break. Please call us if you want to engage in the conversation. 877-300-7645.
Registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs ensures he gets the best use of his mineral supplements by using Youngevity's Ultimate Enzymes.
If you start a nutritional supplement program,